We would be less than honest if we didn't admit it. Christmas in America is all about the gifts. Or perhaps we should say it's mostly about the shopping and a lot about the gifts. Or maybe we need to admit it's mostly about the gifts of others, but also somewhat the gifts we get ourselves. The increase in commercializing of Christmas is astonishing, especially to those of us who've been around a few years. Just when we think Christmas couldn't possibly get more commercial, it does. Retailers figure out a way to do it. Hey, they're part of our family too. Many of you are retailers right there. You're depending on that. You're looking forward every year to November and December being a large percentage of the income of your career, your business, your place. I understand that. I really do. Last year, for example, 07, it was estimated that holiday sales would total $457 billion. And we came close last year. Final figures revealed that shoppers, listen, spent an average of $451 on their family. How did you do? Do you remember? $85 on their friends, $22 on coworkers, $44 on acquaintances, and $99 on themselves. Prompted by, you know, discounts and offers and the fact that many of us were not real sure we were going to get what we wanted anyway. So we just spent the money. That's why I said Christmas is mostly about the gifts of others. It almost looks like buying gifts for others is a way to justify spending money on oneself. Add to this the fact that more than $29 billion of the shopping total was spent online last year, and $35 billion was spent on gift cards. Did you get more gift cards this year? We did. Just imagine how much easier it would have been for the Magi if they could have purchased their gold, their frankincense, and their myrrh over the internet, and had them all delivered on time directly to Bethlehem. It would have saved them a month's worth of sores from those camels, not to mention a life-threatening encounter with King Herod. And if they weren't sure that gold and spices and stuff was really the perfect gift for a newborn king, they could have purchased gift cards and let Mary pick out something Jesus would have really wanted. Just think how far we've come from those humble actions of the wise men who, I guess, were the ones who established the pattern of giving at Christmas. Over the past month, we've been considering a number of Christmas words together. Not always words you could have guessed, but words that affect our lives nonetheless. This season, we talked first of all of sacrifice. And then the word tradition, and then simplicity, and Christmas Eve wonder. And this morning I wrap that series up with the thought about another Christmas word, giving. All that took place Wednesday night and Thursday morning, what was all that about, all that giving? What were we trying to say to one another? It seems to me what we were trying to say was, I love you. And I honor you and appreciate you. I've searched and selected this gift for you because I want you to know how much I value you and the role that you play in my life. This gift isn't some sort of payment for the last year. This is a gift. It's an expression of what I could never repay or replace: your relationship, your friendship, your love to me. Isn't that what the first Christmas gift represented to those who received it? No, I'm not talking about the wise men's gifts to baby Jesus. I'm talking about the gift of Jesus himself to you and me. I believe that is also what Paul was talking about when he wrote to the Corinthian believers, and in his second letter, chapter 9, said, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." That's what he said. It's an indescribable gift. The best gift is Jesus. Now, you knew that was the right answer. I heard Karis give that right answer right up here when Jeff asked. It's Jesus. We know that's right. But do we really believe that in our hearts here this morning? Is it really going to make an impact in our lives? And what good is that going to do for you and me this year? What kind of a gift is the gift of Jesus? It's indescribable, Paul said, but let me try to describe it using some very simple words. First of all, it is a gift of true humility. That's right. Jesus is the gift of true humility. Did you bring a Bible with you this morning? I would invite you to Luke chapter 2 and verse 4. We're not going to read that whole Christmas story, but just pick out three verses or so here in Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 7, and observe this, what I think is a message of humility from the gift of Jesus. I read, "Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David, and in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in cloths." Just cloths. "And laid him in a manger." Just a wooden box. Straw around it. In it. Just a wooden piece of furniture. "And laid him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Seems to me most of the time we are attracted to the glitter and the wrapping because that's what stands out in the Christmas presents under our trees. We were talking with our kids the other night when we were about to open up gifts and remembering a time when Mrs. Pearson used to get different gifts and rewrap them so they fit the living room decor. But she doesn't do that anymore. And we had all these multicolored Christmas wrappings, and they all look so good. Did you have that same kind of scene? It's so American. It's so typical. And we had gifts all over the place, and we were just about to get into it, and we were just looking at it, how nice it was. They look so good. But we've all learned, haven't we, that beyond the wrapping and the glitter and the bows has nothing to do with what's really inside. And we usually discover that too when we open it up and it is not what we guessed it was, and we say, "Thank you very, very much. Love it. Wanted it. This is so wonderful. Thank you." And we don't really mean it, but we're trying to come across nice. And the covering, the wrapping, it looks so different. It looks so good. And then it was something that we really didn't want. It's not the glitter. It's not the gold. Jesus came as the gift from the Father with cloths around him and laying in a wooden piece furniture. The name Emmanuel, yes, God with us, the Hebrew name. It is a promise of incarnate deity. We tend to focus our attention at Christmas, I know, on the infancy of Christ But equal amazement is the deity of Christ and the fact that, yes, he is, he was, he always will be God. Don't forget that this Christmas again. Don't forget that this season. Philippians 2:5 reminds me, for your attitude should be the same attitude as that of Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or held on to in spite of the circumstances around him, in spite of the no glitter and no gold and the simple barn appearance. He was God, and yet he would not use this time or the years that would follow in his teaching ministry as a time to grasp that divinity, but he let that go to be a true gift of humility to us. He was not the vice president elect. He was equal with God Almighty. And he had to humble himself by becoming obedient in those very simple surroundings and obedient to the cross, even to death. It took humility for God to do that. It's the perfect gift. It's a gift of great, true humility. Second, I would say to you this morning that his gift to us was a gift of true joy. True joy. I suspect over the last few days, there have been many happy occasions for you. I hope it was that for many of you. Lots of happy events and seeing people and having a good time. But I also know, as you do, that for many people, this is not a happy time. This is a very, very difficult time. This is a hard time due to the circumstances of the past year, or somebody you've lost over that year, or awkward relationships that aren't good this year, or things that have happened, and loneliness. It is for many, many people not a happy occasion. Well, this indescribable gift is described as a true gift of joy, not happiness. Think of the difference in your life. We're not talking about happiness. I'm talking about joy. Joy is something that is internal. It's not external. It's not based on the circumstances of things around me. It's based on something God has done to me and for me inside. It's what happens spiritually in me that he gives me, and he reminds me every Christmas, this is my indescribable, unbelievable gift day for you. Myself, God, I'm sending my son, my only loved son, for you, to you. Remember that, worship that, don't ever forget that. I'm giving him my son to you. That is my gift. My great gift. The gift of Jesus, his son, is a true gift of joy that changes priorities and the way we look at things. It is a gift that truly keeps giving. When things we received last week begin to break down, and I'll bet a couple of them already have, because that was several days ago. Stuff isn't made like it used to. Or it doesn't work because you forgot the batteries were not included. And so you got to pick that up. And it's worn out. And it's not exactly the fun it was a few days ago when all of that begins to happen. They lose their beauty and their usefulness. But the gift that we have of Jesus this morning is an eternal one. And it is a gift of true joy in here. He did not come to give us another holiday. He did not come to give us more time off work. He came to give us abundant life forever and ever. He did not come to destroy, but to deliver. He did not come to rebuke, but to rescue. It is truly a gift of humility, and a gift of joy. And I share one more. You probably have guessed it. It is a gift of true hope. People are living today without hope. The circumstances, even in our own country, have changed this year. It is a difficult time. For many of you, it is a difficult time. And people in our community and our friends and neighbors around us, they need a sense of hope. Well, the indescribable gift that God gives us is a gift of true hope. You know, there were probably a few gifts you got a few days ago that were given out of obligation. Somebody gave you something, and as soon as you opened it up and saw who it was from, you said, now we got to get them something. Sometimes there are strings attached to our giving. But when God gave us His gift, there were no strings attached whatsoever, no expectation of a gift exchange. Ephesians chapter 2 says so clearly, for by grace we have been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. It is not of works. It is not a deal. It is not a compromise. It is not a plan we figure out. It is a gift we accept. That we say, thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Son into my life. And that brings great hope for the future for every one of us. Not your works, Dave. It's a gift you must accept. Simply saying, thank you, Lord, for the gift of Jesus. That is the hope of Scripture. That is the good news. That is the gospel message, that we now have hope. Hope of a gift that lasts forever. So Jesus' entry into the world was indeed the first Christmas gift. And God was saying something about the infinite value that we have for Him by saying, I love you. I love you more than you can imagine. I want you to know the value that you are to me, and so I'm sending you my Son to save you from your sin and rescue you to be with me. Our gifts to one another, seems to me, ought to be a reflection then of God's gifts to us. When we give to somebody else, it ought to be an expression of gratitude for what God has given to us. The generosity and the appreciation revealed through our gifts ought to say to the recipient, everything I know about giving I learned from God's gift to me of His Son. And now I give to you. Is that too idealistic, perhaps? But remember that maturity is the goal in all of the Christian life. We are to strive to do this and be all that our Heavenly Father wants us to be, knowing that we will, yes, fall short. And that applies, I suppose, to the gift giving of the last week as well. But our striving to have our gifts reflect God's beautiful, perfect, humble, joyful, hopeful gift to us. Giving like God gives. That's our goal. How did He do it? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes and trusts in Him will not perish, but will have eternal, forever, everlasting life. That's a good gift. That's an amazing gift from the Almighty Creator to us. Be sure that you have received that gift by faith this morning. I have. Many of you have. I trust you have received that gift. That is the gift of God. It's better than any other gift. It is a The gift of true humility, of true joy, not happiness, joy, and true hope of the future. It is eternal. And by the way, next time you're at a loss to know what kind of gifts to buy a friend or a loved one, I have this suggestion. It may not seem expensive or novel, but it works every time. It has great value, but no price tag. It can't be lost or ever forgotten. No problem with size either. It will fit all shapes, any age, every personality. This ideal gift for you now, because of his gift, to give to somebody else, because of him, is yourself. It's to give yourself to somebody. Thought about that gift this week? Probably not. It's been so busy, but you can give a gift of yourself to someone. An hour of time to somebody that needs it. A note of encouragement to somebody discouraged. A hug of affirmation to somebody who you know is lonely. A visit of mercy to somebody who can't even get out. A meal for somebody who's been sick or grieving. An act of kindness to someone overlooked with all the excitement of the last few days. You could give that gift. So before you're done here today, you jot that down. I'll hug somebody who needs it. I'm going to write that note I've been thinking about writing for weeks. I'm going to express something to someone I love that I forget to keep saying. I will do it. I will say it. I will write it. An act of kindness to someone not expecting it from me. But I'll do it and I'll jot it down. I'll write it down. I will not forget to show my love in action. You could give a gift of yourself today to somebody maybe sitting right around you right now or somewhere else in this world. Giving. Great Christmas word. And the best gift of all was Jesus, because it's truly humble. He came not to a palace as a king we might expect would require. He came in humility in a little crate in a barn. It's true joy. He didn't come to promise happiness and that everything that goes on in your family and your life this year will be happy. You'll always be happy. He never promised that. The Father said, I bring you great joy. Good news of great joy for all people. You can have joy because joy's in here, not out here. It's what I do, he says, inside of you. And it will be great hope, true hope. It will give you a future that's forever and ever if you will accept Jesus, the little child, as your Savior of sin, the Lord of your life, and to invite him to come in to you. Just think how things would change this year if you made that decision to allow him in here. It's the right answer. Jesus is the best gift for all those reasons and many, many more. Yes, Paul, an indescribable gift, but maybe we can describe it a little as joy and hope and love and the characteristics we know make up our great God. I hope you have received that gift this morning. Maybe it's been a long time. Maybe you've always delayed in doing that. This would be a great day between for you and him alone to make that decision and say, God, I accept you as that baby of Christmas, but more than that, I accept you as my Savior from sin and the Lord, the governor of my life. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King. It's all about the gift, not the gifts.